Numbers Game, presented by RotoViz and PredictiveFootball.com, and of course brought to you by MyBookie.ag. I'm your host, Nick Giffen. You can follow me on Twitter at Rotodoc, and with me, of course, Kevin Cole. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Cole_Kev. There was a lot of news this week. Obviously, the trade deadline came up, and so there were several deals that went through, and there was also a deal that didn't quite get through at the deadline. So some interesting situations to break down. But Kevin, before we break down those situations, how are you doing this week?
I'm good. An interesting week. We're kind of right in the middle of the season. So to see all these trades go down, I mean, it was crazy because I was just away from my phone for a couple of hours doing some trick-or-treating out here on the East Coast, and come back and boom, you know, all this stuff has happened. I kind of feel like I can't even scroll down far enough. There's so many tweets in there to figure out what actually happened in the first place. So it's been crazy, in particular for the NFL, which is known because of the fact that it's difficult for players to get up to speed on what's going on. It's not a league where you can just substitute guys in and out, like in baseball, let's say, where you can just, you know, put a pitcher out there or put a hitter out there. Like, they know what they're doing. It's not like there's a scheme dependent sport. You normally don't see this type of activity.
Yeah, exactly. It was definitely a wild couple of days here. It first, of course, started on Monday with the Jimmy Garoppolo trade late on Monday. And then, of course, on Tuesday, coming up to the trade deadline, a bunch of different trades. So we'll get in all those trades. But first, I need to remind everybody, you can get a listener's only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the RotoViz podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our premium content, apps, articles, and it also supports the pod. All right, Kevin, let's dive into this first deal that we talked about. Jimmy Garoppolo got traded by New England to the San Francisco 49ers. And then the 49ers ended up releasing Brian Hoyer. He was not included as part of this deal. So, first of all, I guess there's a lot of things to talk about. The Niners sent a second round pick to the Patriots. Was that a fair value for Garoppolo? What happens going forward with Garoppolo and the Niners? What are the knock-on implications elsewhere in the league? I know Kirk Cousins has been mentioned a lot about going to the 49ers next year. So just a ton of things. What's your overall, assessment here of this trade?
I mean, I thought at around this point in the season, I remember before the trade went down, I was thinking that the Patriots may have messed up not trading Garoppolo in the offseason, because I felt like it's such a recency bias with this sort of thing. The fact that Garoppolo is probably not going to play this season would just lower his value. There's nothing left on his rookie contract, all that sort of stuff. The fact that they got this pick is a pretty strong value because, you know, we throw around things like second round pick, but we're talking about the 49ers second round pick here. So they are currently the second worst team in the league, even though they are tied for having the worst record with no wins. So that would put their pick at 34. So that is a very strong, it's a near first round pick. And if you look at research that's been done in the past about the concept of surplus value, which is the value you're getting from the lower salary of a rookie versus an equivalent free agent, that's kind of your sweet spot. Now, the surplus value equation may not apply that well to quarterbacks, but obviously the Patriots are not going to be drafting a quarterback with this pick. They're going to be getting someone who's going to help them out in a different position, most likely, unless Tom Brady falls apart in the last few weeks here. So they could get a really strong player here. So I feel like they got a great value for it. I think the 49ers may have overpaid a bit, but if this is the guy they want, if they know he's going to re-sign, it's interesting. I just think that they're going to have to re-sign him for a lot of money. And if you talk about the decision of signing him versus drafting a quarterback, because they're most likely going to have at least be able to get one of the top quarterbacks this year. I mean, they're probably going to pay him upwards of three times the amount, maybe even higher than what that rookie quarterback is going to be making. So it's gonna hit a dent on them, but they have so much cap space that I don't think they're concerned about it. So I don't think it's an awful deal for the 49ers, but they don't really have a lot of pieces around him. So we'll see how he can perform there.
Yeah, and just talking about Garoppolo himself, obviously he spent a few years in the league. He came out in 2014 out of college. And was selected 62nd overall, so towards the back half of the second round there. Pretty good prospect, had you know, his AYA in his final year, the adjusted yards per attempt was a 10.0, which is fantastic. It's what we like to see. Good ball velocity. The one knock on him, I guess, was his film grade at the combine. But, you know, he played so well in college, it probably can forgive a little bit of that. And it turns out, you know, if you plug all those numbers into my QB success model, he was right around, predicted to be around 25 to 30% success. And, you know, so that puts him in line with some other prospects that we've seen this year just from my model. DeShone Kizer, DeShone Watson, they were both in that neighborhood there. So obviously there's been a different range of outcomes with those two, but that's kind of where my prospect model put Garoppolo. You mentioned a couple interesting things. First, you mentioned the 49ers have been so bad that they definitely could have the opportunity to draft a quarterback early. There was also, you know, I guess before the season, indications that Kirk Cousins maybe would end up leaving Washington after this year, not being re-franchise tagged again, and possibly going to reunite with Kyle Shanahan, which he was with, of course, when Shanahan was at the Redskins with Cousins as well. So now there's multiple different options that San Francisco 49ers could go this offseason. You mentioned they could re-sign Garoppolo. They could draft a quarterback. Maybe I think Kirk Cousins signing him has kind of gone out the window. What direction do you think is most likely for them now?
Oh, I think they almost have to re-sign him. I mean, they're using a second round pick here. They would probably be to their advantage to get something done quickly. So I don't think they're even going to get that much of a look at him. They'll probably try to do something over the next couple of weeks and just sign him to a deal then. I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent. So their choices are, if they let him go, is to franchise him at, you know, in the mid 20 million, something like that, which isn't, like I said, with their cap space situation, it's not like they can't do it. But it's just, why do that instead? If you could get him signed the next 2 weeks, also a beauty of that is you can bring a lot of that cap spending into 2017. So you don't even have to worry about the ramifications of a big deal in future years where you might not have as much cap space, assuming that the team's doing well. So I almost think they have to sign him no matter what, unless he completely flops. And I just, you know, the team stinks, right? They're 0-8. So how much worse is it going to be? And there'll be a lot of excuses made for him, even if he doesn't play well. So I think it's a pretty much, you know, it's close, you know, 90, 95, close to 100% chance that they'll end up re-signing him.
And real quick, just with Garoppolo's, I guess, fantasy prospects here. Now he goes to, you know, an 0-8 San Francisco team. He definitely seems to be a better prospect than C.J. Beathard. And then, you know, Brian Hoyer struggled. Does he have more fantasy value right now than either Hoyer or Beathard had when they were the starting quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he has more fantasy value, but I wouldn't say that it's particularly high. I mean, I know Shanahan is kind of got this whole aura around him after what he did with the Falcons last year. But I think a lot of that is just a team with a lot of talent. And then I know the Falcons have fallen off a little bit this year, but they've actually been pretty good as far as Matt Ryan has a very high success rate. They've been doing very well in a yards per play. They're just not getting the scores and they're getting some very poor turnovers. So I don't know how much to build into, like, Shanahan's going to make everything all right. There isn't a lot of talent around him, receiving talent, but, you know, Garcon's not bad. Kittle looks like a decent player. But I think this is going to be more a situation where in Dynasty, you know, Garoppolo may become an asset next year or the following year. And for redraft, there's just no point in worrying about him for this year.
There you go. You know, obviously the fantasy implications are great, but I also want to talk to you about my favorite fantasy app, and that is, of course, Draft. Here's how it works. You do a draft that lasts for just 1 week, and there's no management. Just set it and forget it. When you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you, so drafts, they start every couple of minutes, and you can join one right now. The best part, you play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just a dollar, so there's a draft for everyone. No salary caps, play in real-life snake drafts just like you play with your friends in a season-long league. Come and join me on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search the Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes. Or play right from your computer on PlayDraft.com. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry in a draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code RVRadio. That's right, play a real money game for free just by using the promo code RVRadio in your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to PlayDraft.com and come play for free with promo code RVRadio. All right, Kevin, let's move on to another major trade that happened. One of the three, I guess, major trades that happened. And this one came out first on Tuesday. I woke up at, you know, 8:30 Pacific time, and it had already gone down. And that, of course, was Jay Ajayi getting traded over from Miami to the Philadelphia Eagles for a fourth-round pick. You know, the Miami Dolphins, they've definitely struggled on offense this year. Jay Ajayi has the most touches in the NFL without a touchdown. The player with the most touches without a touchdown so far this year. And now he gets to go over to an Eagles team that only has one loss, the best record in the NFC. What do you make of this trade?
I mean, from a fantasy perspective, it obviously frees up a ton of opportunity in Miami, although it's not exactly high-quality opportunity. The Miami Dolphins are only averaging 3.2 yards per carry overall. Ajayi was only 3.4. Their whole offense has been kind of in disarray all season. They have one of the worst offenses in the league in total. So it's not like it's a great opportunity, but if you think about the share that's leaving, it's enormous. I mean, out of 168 carries they've had this year, and if you take out Cutler, that brings it down to 160 even. Ajayi's had 138 of those carries. So we only have 12 for Damian Williams, 10 for Kenyon Drake, and then one for Jarvis Landry. That is a lot of opportunity that needs to be resorted. Now, whether one of those guys can emerge and be the guy, we'll have to end up seeing. I mean, Williams also has more targets, but yet Drake was their third-round pick, and you know, the third-round pick of this current regime, if you want to say that, this current administration with Adam Gase there. So maybe Drake has the upper hand. So one of those two guys is interesting, and it just muddles the backfield even further for the Eagles, where LeGarrette Blount was maybe playable at best. Wendell Smallwood was having a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So now Ajayi comes in there where it's really just boosting and solidifying what they have from a real football perspective. But from a fantasy football perspective, it just seems like no one is really going to take over and be the man there. I mean, I could be wrong. Ajayi could end up being that guy. But it seems like they like to spread the ball around, and why not continue to do that?
Yeah, definitely. I think over in Miami, certainly it's going to be tough with Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams probably splitting some of the work there. You mentioned Ajayi did Ajayi has had two 100-yard games this year. They both came in very favorable matchups, one against the Atlanta Falcons, one against the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm still going to do that. But so I think, you know, really, you can only play Miami's backs, I think, in deep leagues, maybe in good matchups, kind of as a flex play. But other than that, I don't see a lot of fantasy goodness there. You mentioned over on the Philly side, now Philadelphia has this incredible 1-2 punch between LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. I guess you could call Ajayi 1 and LeGarrette Blount 2, the ground game and the power roll guy. What happens to the other backs there in Philadelphia? Obviously, Wendell Smallwood being there. And then Corey Clement got very little usage. But is Wendell Smallwood now just a completely lost fantasy asset?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we'll have to end up seeing what happens with Ajayi after his rookie deal is over. He still got a little bit of time on that. He still goes through 2018, I think. So I really don't think that he's going to be of much value. It probably reflects upon him more than anyone else, the fact that they're making this trade. And from a real football perspective, I don't know. I don't really like trading for running backs, but they're only giving up a fourth round pick. And at this point, if it's their own pick, which I assume it is, they have the best record in the league. So it's nearly a fifth round pick. So this could be one of these rare circumstances where it's a win-win. I mean, I definitely think it's a good trade for the Miami Dolphins. They're not really competitive this year, even though they're 4-3. They're not probably going to be competitive next year. Ajayi's, you know, they're not going to re-sign this guy long-term. He obviously had the knee issues, and they used a fifth round pick to draft him. So to get rid of him for a fourth sounds pretty good, especially when you consider the fact that he hasn't been practicing on Thursdays because he's had this knee soreness. So he doesn't seem like an asset that's really going to be worth much more than the last couple of years. And for the Eagles, you know, if they have the best record in football, they're clearly competing right now. So maybe giving up a late fourth round pick for the chance to use up Ajayi for a couple of years is a good deal for them.
Yep, definitely. All right. Another trade that went down just before the deadline on Tuesday. Carolina Panthers, they sent Kelvin Benjamin over to the Buffalo Bills for two picks, one being a third rounder in 2018 and the other being a seventh rounder in 2018. The third rounder, I should mention, is the Bills pick. So the Bills did also have another third rounder that they acquired from the Philadelphia Eagles, which I think was that Jordan Matthews trade there. But So two draft picks there, a third rounder and a seventh rounder next year's draft for Kelvin Benjamin. First of all, what do you think of the deal in terms of its fairness? And second of all, what do you think in terms of the fantasy prospects for the wide receivers over there at Buffalo, including Kelvin Benjamin?
I mean, Buffalo's not the greatest place for receivers. We've seen that. I mean, Sammy Watkins has been somewhat productive when he was playing there, and he was getting these extremely long passes, though. It was mostly an extreme efficiency play as opposed to a volume play, and Kelvin Benjamin does not seem to be that same type of player, so I'm not sure how he can get the right mix of volume and efficiency that he needs to be productive there. It's more likely he'll be on the other end. He's someone who needs a lot of volume at a lower efficiency, so I don't know how that works with Tyrod Taylor. And it is a little bit interesting because, you know, Taylor's playing well this year. He's playing like a top 10 quarterback again this year, although he's doing a lot of damage with his legs and a lot of damage throwing to not to his wide receivers. I mean, Zay Jones has been a complete bust so far, one of the worst catch rates in the NFL. So Benjamin is going to solidify that. But at the same time, you know, sometimes these assets, I think, can help open up the passing game for the Bills. So I think it probably helps their other pieces like Tyrod Taylor. And they didn't give up that much to get him, if you think about it. I mean, that's a third round pick is not that much, especially for a team who's playing that well. Now, they're still going to have him for I guess they have him for one more season because his option was picked up. I mean, we'll have to see what ends up, if they want to end up paying that or not, because it's going to be, you know, around $8 million a year. But still, that's not that much compared to wide receivers out there in the free agent market. So it's not an overwhelming price, but I just don't see much fantasy value for Benjamin in Buffalo.
Yeah. And then on the other side of that deal, the Carolina Panthers, of course, you mentioned they get two picks. But what I'm more curious about is what it does to their wide receiver core there. I think obviously Devin Funchess, who has, you know, similar build to Kelvin Benjamin there. I think Devin Funchess, clearly now the number one receiver. He's been targeted heavily the last six or so games, especially since Greg Olsen went down with an injury. But I'm kind of curious what that does with the other receivers. Do you think any of these other receivers, Russell Shepard, Curtis Samuel, maybe even Kalen Clay, step up? Is there a chance any of these guys step up? Are they relatively worthless given the fact that the Panthers are so run heavy?
I mean, you have to think that this is going to be Curtis Samuel could get the biggest boost here. I mean, it doesn't necessarily make sense as far as he's a lateral move or a replacement for him. But, you know, they spent a second round pick, not only second round pick, the 40th overall pick on Samuel. And currently he's sitting at 14 targets and seven catches. Now, he hasn't been getting a lot of action, but he's played in seven games. So it's not like he's been out the entire season. I feel like he has to be the guy that they get involved. Although I never understood their game plan of McCaffrey and Samuel, what they were going to do with those guys. Seems like a lot of overlap in the potential roles that they could fill. So the guy that I'm most confident saying it benefits is Devin Funchess, as you would remember. Now, he's a guy that's starting to play a lot better this year and only 23 years old. I mean, I think we still forget how young he is, and he's already been, you know, written off a couple of different times. So he's the guy who's clearly going to step in and get some more volume here. But I also think Samuel is a guy who could finally at least get into the action a little bit. But the fact that he's been so disappointing to this point tempers my enthusiasm.
Yeah, definitely. I think you know, you bring up a great point about Devin Funchess, still only 23 years old, and obviously age matters. We've shown that a lot at RotoViz. You know, you look at the Phenom Index numbers for Devin Funchess, very good because of the, you know, the age that he came out. So I definitely think Devin Funchess has been playing very well. I was glad to have him in a couple of my high stakes leagues and benefit you know, now I think I'll benefit even more towards the latter half of this season. So I'm, you know, personally pretty excited about that, and hopefully Devin Funchess can keep up kind of the role he's been on. He's been, like I mentioned, a target monster, multiple touchdowns. So I think he's a pretty interesting fantasy value here coming in towards the latter half of the season. All right, and of course, the holiday season is coming upon us, and you may need some holiday cash. I know you need it, and I know where you can get it. MyBookie is the place to score some serious cash on your sports predictions. Believe it or not, the holidays are just around the corner. Halloween, Kevin, of course, is we're recording this right now on Halloween evening. You mentioned taking your kids trick-or-treat in there. Well, so that means plenty of parties, gifts, candy, and spending. It also means there's lots of football, basketball, and hockey you can score big on every day. Man up and play like the pros on game day. You can play the money line, side, or total. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs and offers super fast payouts when you win. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. If you want to make money betting the big games, you got to go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. They have odds on every matchup and a mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone a breeze. Join now. MyBookie will match your deposit with a 50% bonus. Use promo code ROTONUMBERS to activate your offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, one final trade that didn't actually go down, that almost went down. I think it's interesting because it involves one of our favorite teams to talk about, the Cleveland Browns. They tried to get quarterback A.J. McCarron from the Cincinnati Bengals. It's reported that the Browns would have sent away a second round and a third round pick in 2018. And of course, with Cleveland being as bad as they have been this year, that would be a very high second round pick and a very high third round pick, most likely. So, first of all, the trade didn't go through. But second of all, A, do you think it would have been a fair trade? And B, does Cleveland actually even need to get a quarterback like A.J. McCarron? Is he going to be an upgrade over a Cody Kessler, over a DeShone Kizer? Does it even matter for these guys right now? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I'll start with the first part. I mean, yeah, we don't know. A lot of people reporting the second and the third. We know if it was a 2018 third, which pick that would be, because they only have their own third. So that would be the first pick in the third round, assuming things end where they are today, or the 65th pick. But we don't really know what the second round pick is going to be, and that dramatically changes the cost. I mean, I'll say that I don't think I like the trade no matter which second round pick it is, but if it's their own, then we're talking about the 33rd pick. If it's the Houston Texans pick at 3-4, and let's say they end up about 500 because they're playing decently well, you know, that would be a pick more in the range of the late 40s. And then if it's the Eagles pick, they're the top team in the league. So that would be all the way back at the 64th pick. So the difference between, you know, their pick at 33 or the Eagles pick at 64 is pretty enormous. Although from a perspective of value, I mean, one of the best value calculators out there is Football Perspective. They have an approximate value calculator. So you're not looking at the old Jimmy Johnson chart. You're trying to figure out what the real value is of these picks. Even if you combine the 64th and 65th picks, so that would be the Eagles' second round pick that the Browns have and their own third round pick, that actually has more value than the assumed pick for the 49ers that they traded for Garoppolo or the 33rd pick right now. So that seems awfully high to trade. Number one, McCarron obviously doesn't have as good of a reputation, but just looking at our prior on him, he was a fifth round pick. Garoppolo was a late second round pick. So that just seems like way too much. And this is honestly the first move that the Browns have made. The most recent reporting being that they were the ones who signed off on it. This is the first move where I've really scratched my head and said, you know, I don't get it. If only because what are you going to do with this guy? He's not really going to be your future. This smells like something where, you know, maybe they're just giving this to Hugh Jackson just to give him somebody because he's saying, hey, listen, you know, you didn't get some of the other quarterbacks that I wanted. I need somebody. We need to win a game and so on and so forth. And I do think McCarron would give him a better chance of winning a game than DeShone Kizer, possibly even better than Cody Kessler. I mean, I guess that Hugh Jackson would have a better idea than anyone else would at this point. But I don't see there's any reason to spend that sort of capital on him because they should definitely be looking to draft a quarterback next year also.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just not sold on A.J. McCarron. If you look at some of his numbers, I mean, he does have a nice hand size of 10 inches, but his ball velocity was either a 49 or a 53, depending on the different measurements you use. Not that great. His film grade at the combine as graded by Ben Albright, a 73. You know, came out as a senior. He did play multiple years as a starter, but just didn't seem to be a supremely elite prospect. And, but he didn't even get a grade in my quarterback prospect model because at the time we didn't have good ball velocity data on him. But if I do plug in a 53 even, he still only grades out at around 8 to 10% success, which is what Cody Kessler had graded out before he had a success and changed the model a little bit because now you got new data and you need to update the model. But I just don't see him being a big upgrade, and I didn't really understand, you know, the need to deal for A.J. McCarron. I think he's a capable backup. He's shown it when Andy Dalton has gone down at times, but I think that's probably about all he is. So I wouldn't have done the deal. Kevin, good stuff there. We really appreciate your insights and your time, and I hope you had a good Halloween with your kids there.
Yeah, Nick, thanks. Thanks for having me again.
Yep, and of course, you can follow Kevin on Twitter at @Cole_Kev, and I am Nick Giffen. Make sure to follow me on Twitter @RotoDoc. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.